What is this project going to cost us at this point in time?
Madam Chair, the total project cost, which would be the construction and the initial soft costs, is $37 million.
But we're borrowing money. What is the cost on the borrowed money?
Through the chair, additional interest that would relate to that $16.6 million, as noted in the report, is approximately $8.8 million.
So what is our all-in cost then?
45.8.
Okay, so we're close to $46 million all in. And I suppose that doesn't include the interest lost on the reserves that we're pulling, does it?
Through the chair, it would not.
So, I mean, there's lots of ways to view this, but I think it's important that the community understand the costs and the total costs. They're actually quite high. $46 million just in this report alone, and there's other costs as well that we're sure about. And the mayor had noted how we are receiving money, which is quite nice. But let's not forget that's deficit money from the province and the feds. I mean, the taxpayers will have to repay this money. It makes our corporation a little more whole on the COVID side, but it is debt that our governments are accruing. Our revenues are unknown moving forward, and that's the important thing. It's not how many grants we get from the government to cover one-time COVID costs. It's our ongoing revenue stream over the next little while. Yes, it's going to recover. We don't know when. But just to state, I really don't believe this is the time to award a contract upwards of $50 million. Yes, it's a good project. I would be fully supportive of it had we not been in a pandemic and we received the ICIF funding that we had hoped at the outset. But I can't in good conscience award a contract of this value when citizens are hurting. Some of them are financially destitute. Some of them. Remember, there are people without jobs. Most of us around the table are very lucky. We're still making money. We're very fortunate. But there are many in the community who are wondering how they are going to pay their bills. To put this additional pressure and this anxiety upon them of moving forward with a project of this magnitude right now, I think is not in the best interests of our citizens. We will come out of this and we will be able to proceed at some point in some form, but tonight is probably not the night.
When we're making decisions on closing facilities like the Canada Games Complex, we all as councillors hear about it, how that impacts people in a very real way. So it's a legitimate issue to discuss. But I think the problem is when you link it to this project, if you're going to do that, I believe you should have something much more to say than just say people have lost their jobs. Because what you're doing is you're linking this project as creating some incredible burden on individual taxpayers in the city. I think you really, if you're going to make that argument, you should explain it more fully. So my question would be rhetorically, I would say, well, if you don't do this project, Councillor A, B, or C, right? If that's part of your argument and you're worried about people, if you vote down the project, I guess that means you're going to take the money for this project and do something else with it. I guess you should tell the community and all of us what that would be. You know, Councillor Roberto asked the question earlier about to Ms. Evans, what's the tax implication for the project with the increased debenture? And I think Ms. Evans said $22 for the median household, which is about $240,000. Remembering, I've stated this a number of times, please, remembering, it doesn't come on our books till 2023. 2 years from now, right, we're talking about revenues. We're worried about that, legitimately so. But 2 years from now until the cost of that hits your books. So individual homeowners who are worried what this project means for them, you've heard very clearly tonight the cost on the median household as a result of the plan that's in place, what it will mean, and that it doesn't hit your books and your tax bill till 2023. And by the way, the council of the day will make the decision in that taxation year how much they want to raise your taxes. And that $22 will be part of that tax increase. So if you come in like we did this year, congratulations to the group, 1.6%. Maybe if you had to build that $22 in this year, that 1.6% might have been 1.8 or whatever the math would have been. So you still have an ability to manage this council of 2023, community, it doesn't hit your books until 2023. If the project were to move forward, it's being financed during the construction period by Infrastructure Ontario. I've said all this before, $300,000 over 2 years, give or take, to finance the construction of the project. Councillor Bentz has raised the total cost of the project, and he's accurate. The number is accurate, and it's fair, and it's good to put it out in the community. But what doesn't usually get said when we talk about the total number and include the interest expense is that's over 25 years. Why don't we say that when we talk about the total cost? Why don't we remind the community that that cost, the interest, the debt, and the interest expense is spread out over 25 years? And I brought into the conversation a year ago the fact that the $40 million that previous councils spent on a variety of projects that was a homes debenture to build two long-term care homes that a council in 04 decided not to build, you took that $40 million and the interest expense that was associated with it, and you spent it on a whole bunch of stuff. You could probably tell us better than I can what you spent it on, and that debenture will be retired in another 2 years, which means you've got $4 million of fiscal capacity, which was way more than the cost of the debenture that we're now suggesting that won't hit your books until 2023. It's been a bit discouraging, I will say. I'm really discouraged by, disappointed how, unfortunately, this project has really polarized the community. It's been really discouraging to see that happen. Why don't we tell the community when you're talking about the project, if you're not supportive of it, why don't you tell them that out of that $18 million that we've got tucked away, that over $8 million of it came from other sources? I've never yet heard somebody opposed to the project say that on a radio program or in a newspaper article, that $7 million came from the feds and $1.1 million from the MAT, that we've got $8 million of the $18 million that's in the reserve from other sources. We're talking tonight about other funding opportunities, always good to pursue. Why isn't anybody say that to tell the whole story, you know, to the community? We don't tend to hear that from people. There's a number of people in the community who feel like they're not being heard. And I'm not sure how that can be the case. You've heard others talk about consultations that have gone on this particular project for 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, I don't even know. There's been reports, the Krupe report, Stantec report, other reports that we've received as a council, some of those reports before my time. There's been so many different reports that have been that came into play. And people still feel and make that argument sometimes that they're not being heard. And honestly, as someone who's been doing this work for a little while, that's a bit discouraging to hear, because there's a difference between not being heard and having somebody who has a different point of view. You know, they're not the same thing. And by the way, councillors who voted in favor of this, really, in my opinion, 9-4, who voted in favor of this, why did you do that? Don't you people know that the community doesn't want this project? Well, how do you really know? I don't know how you determine it. Ms. Paris and her deputation earlier this evening said there was she referenced an online poll. 6 or 8 months ago, there were two polls that were basically the same. You know, I'm in favor, I'm opposed. It's unfortunate that this has split the community, but it really has. If we would, as a council, you know, make your decisions, our collective decisions, by petition, the 11-2 vote that we took to close Dease Pool, we would have reversed that decision, because apparently 6,000 people signed a petition and presented it to Councillor Folds. And then I guess we would have, based on that petition, made a decision not to close Dease Pool. And so we would have then decided to spend $2 or $3 million to replace that pool when there's another pool 3/4 of a mile away that's open for 8 weeks a year. That's what we would have, if you listened, because Ms. Paris was part of that as well. That's then how we would have made that decision. I'm not looking to criticize anybody's position or anybody's argument or the people in the community that are opposed to this, but I am concerned when this is positioned as being incredibly egregious and difficult for them when it comes to their personal finances and their ability to make ends meet. It is relevant that we received provincial and federal funding for people to know that our operating deficit position for this year is in really good shape, that we're only $1.15 million in the ditch related to what the projected deficit is. It's important for people to know that. And that we've got $16 million tucked away to try and manage that 1.15. And we still don't know if we're going to get more from the federal government. And it's also fair for Mr. Gale to say we have concerns with what 2022 will hold. And it's obviously something we need to think about. But where we are today, I have to believe you would think is a better position in terms of this decision than where we were a year ago when some wanted to defer the decision for 90 days. We now know how much money we have to deal with COVID-19 for 2021. And we also know that we're so much closer to the vaccinations rolling out. We've been told that by the end of June, anybody that wants it is going to have one. I'd have to say, while the decision was difficult, knowing the COVID situation for 2021 and knowing that vaccinations are closer and that hopefully we find our ways crawling out of this pandemic that has seized our time and our energy and our resources for a full year, that we'll be closer to having that in the rearview mirror. I've never tried to predict what 2022 will hold or what 2023 will hold. If you're opposed, I respect that. But to try and frame this as being this incredible burden that this decision would be placing on individual homeowners is just not an accurate reflection of what this project will do. And understanding that we're still fully 2 years away from the costs of it hitting the books if the project would go forward. If it doesn't, I respect the decision of council. I have no problem doing that. But I really, it's just how it's framed, you know, that somehow those of us who would do this are unfeeling or lacking in empathy or not understanding what the community might be feeling about this. It's a bit difficult to listen to that argument. So much time of my energy personally as mayor, I can tell you, is dealt with or used up dealing exactly with those sorts of things. So that framing is a little bit difficult, Chair, I would say, to listen to. Thank you.